and welcome to episode 28 of the Nightlight Stories podcast, recorded on December 12th, 2010. This podcast tells one original story each episode that will light up the imagination of children of all ages, anytime, anywhere. I am your host and narrator, Miss Mel. Happy holidays from the Nightlight Stories household. We have been busy decorating the house, visiting with our families, making cookies and gingerbread houses, and trying to soak in all the sights, sounds, and smells around us. Our third holiday story, Red vs. Green, was written by Chris and Melissa Bouguet. Before the story begins, we just wanted to let you know that this story is a little bit longer than our others. If you find your wee ones are needing a break, listen for the sleigh bells. We found those are a good breaking point. We would like to dedicate this story to Braden Bouguet. As you listen to the story, consider the following. Who or what inspires you to do great things? Bobby Ornament sat in the locker room with his head hung low between his legs. It wasn't supposed to be like this. This was supposed to be the year. The year that the Mistletoes broke the worst slump in hockey history. The year that he led the team to victory. The year that he took his celebratory lap around the ice holding the cup of good cheer. But here he was, in the second intermission, with only one period left to play, and they were down 3-0. Every year, the Winter Holiday Hockey Classic was held at the North Pole. The burly and brutish Blarney Stones, a team made up entirely of leprechauns from St. Patrick's Day, faced off against the Mistletoes, a team of elves from Santa's Workshop. The two teams, only playing the one game a year, competed in front of every elf and every leprechaun in the world, and everyone looked forward to the annual event. On game day, elves took a break from their daily duties of wrapping presents and checking lists. Leprechauns left the end of their rainbows and stopped counting the gold within their little black pots. Everyone attended the competition. Unfortunately for the Mistletoes, the game always ended the same way, with a crushing loss. Every year, for the last 250 years, there was a build-up in excitement around the North Pole with expectations and hopes that this would be the year the Mistletoes would triumph. Every year, their hopes were dashed in devastating defeat. This year had been no exception. Workshops buzzed with talk about how the latest addition to the Mistletoes, the speedy Bobby Ornament, was going to be the game changer. One elf, who had seen him in practice, said he could skate faster than seven swans a-swimming. Another said he was more graceful than nine ladies dancing. But during the first two periods of the game, the belligerent Blarney Stones ran over Bobby Ornament like he was Grandma on Christmas Eve. In fact, by the end of the second period, the entire Mistletoes team was so battered they were destined to have a black and blue Christmas. Now, with one period left to play, Bobby didn't want to go back out on that ice. He could tell by looking around at his teammates they didn't want to go back out either. For an instant, hope rose in his chest when he saw the coach, Jack Frost, rise from his seat next to the Christmas tree in the locker room. The little fairy, dressed in a glistening bluish-white outfit, looked around at the team and said, "I guess the three words that best describe you are as follows, and I quote, stink, stank, stunk." And with that, he sat back down and began playing with snowflakes he created out of thin air. Bobby shook his head in disgust, partly at the brashness of his coach and partly because he knew he was right. The weather outside wasn't the only thing that was frightful. They were playing worse than a seasick crocodile. Stuffing earbuds in his ears, he resigned himself to the fact that this wasn't going to be the year. He wasn't going to be the hero or savior everyone thought he was. He let the carols of Twisted Tinsel, his favorite elven rock band, take him to another place as he closed his eyes to accept his fate. "Now is the time for hope and cheer. Never give up, 'cause Christmas is near. Presents are coming from far and wide. The best one you know is deep inside. Christmas, Christmas, it's the time of miracles. Christmas, Christmas, you've got to show 'em how it goes." So this is Christmas, he thought to himself, inspiration calling. It's the best time of the year. We're playing a team of leprechauns at Christmas time. Do they even know it's Christmas time at all? He stood up, grabbed his stick and helmet, and said, "Hey, are you listening?" Some of the other elves looked up, startled at the sudden noise. Bobby continued, "I don't know about you, but I've made a decision. I'm not giving up. Do you hear me? I'm not giving up."
"Bobby,"
said one of his teammates, Tiny Tim Horton, a defenseman with eyes as round as donuts.
"Our Christmas goose is cooked. It's over. Every year we go out there and frolic and play the Eskimo way, and every year the Blarney Stones deck us like we're a hall. They're just too big, and they're just too strong for us. It seems like every time they hit us, our sticks shatter into 1,000 pieces.
"Yeah," agreed Gordy Plow, the right winger on the team. "We've gone through more sticks this game than Santa eats Christmas cookies. And I don't know about you, but those green meanies check so hard they knock me right out of my skeets. I don't mean figuratively either. I mean literally. My laces break and my skates go flying off my feet." Bobby squinted. "You're right. They are bigger and they are stronger, but we're faster and more agile. When those leprechauns skate, their bellies jiggle like a bowl full of jelly. In my mind, their toughness and our quickness cancel each other out. And as for our equipment breaking, well, maybe we shouldn't use candy canes as hockey sticks and garland as shoelaces."
"You mean we should use a different type of candy cane, like rainbow-colored candy canes?"
asked Mario Lemuel, another offensive player on the team who had rosy red cheeks.
"Yeah, do you mean to use red garland instead of green garland?" asked Gordy, confused.
"No," said Bobby, shaking his head. "What if we used real wooden hockey sticks, like the ones we make for the good girls and boys? And what if we used real cloth laces, you know, like children wear on their ice skates?"
"But we've always used candy canes and garland," argued Tiny Tim.
"Yeah, and we've always lost the game," said Bobby convincingly.
"I'm willing to try it," said Gordy, whipping out his Hollyberry cell phone. "I mean, at this point, what do we have to lose? I'll send a text to the toy shop to have them bring us some leftover sticks and laces."
Tiny Tim shook his head.
"Look, I'm up for trying anything too, but I'm not sure new sticks and new laces are going to solve the real problem. The truth is, the leprechauns have an edge we can't even hope to have. They're just too darn lucky."
The bells on the helmets of the team jingled as elves bobbed their head in agreement.
"That's it," said Mario. "Tiny Tim is right. The leprechauns have all the luck. They don't wear those clovers on their jerseys for nothing."
Bobby looked into the eyes of his teammates. "Luck? You say they have all the luck, but I say we're lucky to be here. We're lucky to get to play in this game. I say that playing in this game is one of those things we'll remember all through our lives. Luck? No. They don't have any more luck than we do. Besides, we have something they don't. Christmas spirit." Bobby marched over to the Christmas tree and yanked a snowman ornament off a bough. "This ornament is my lucky charm. Like the magic the snowman found in an old silk hat, I'm finding the magic within my new stick. Come up here, grab an ornament as your lucky charm, and find the magic inside yourself." Bobby held the snowman up to his teammates, shaking it gently, and said, I believe we can win this game." Tiny Tim stood up and said,
"I believe,"
and headed toward the tree, focusing on an ornament of hot cocoa. One by one, the other mistletoes grabbed their helmets, and one by one, they plucked ornaments from the tree, saying,
"I believe."
Bobby watched the confidence in his teammates swell. It felt like his heart grew 3 sizes that day. A few minutes later, the mistletoes shuffled down the tunnel toward the ice, grabbing sticks and laces from a tiny elf wearing thick black glasses named Hansen. Bobby followed his teammates out, last in the line, shouting words of encouragement like, "Let's make this a good one without any fear," and "Let's make it a show for kids from 1 to 92. When he stepped outside, he was shocked to see that a blustery wind had brought in a sudden snow squall. Taking it as a sign, he yelled, "What a beautiful sight! Oh yeah, we're happy tonight!" As his teammates stepped out onto the ice for a warm-up lap, he glanced back at his coach. Jack gave him a quick wink and two thumbs up, but otherwise pretended he had nothing at all to do with the wintry weather. The Mistletoes slid into their seats on the bench and relaced their skates. Bobby stopped in front of them. "This is it, everyone. This is where we separate the elves from the icicles. Remember the plan. Skate as fast as a reindeer. Pass the puck like it's a dirty stocking at a white elephant exchange. And, above all, believe. Believe that we can do this. Now. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, let's go!" Welcome back to the Winter Classic, held annually the week before Christmas here in the North Pole. I'm Rick Gingerbread, here with Don Cheery. Don, can you believe the comeback we've seen from the Mistletoes tonight? Who would have thunk it?
Whoa, has this been an exciting game? At the end of the second period, I thought it was all over. If you had asked me, I would have told you the Blarney Stones couldn't be touched, even with a 39.5-foot pole. They dominated the first and second period, but then, wham, out of nowhere, the Mistletoes came charging back.
Yes, indeed! New sticks, new laces, and a new attitude. In those first two periods, it looked like they had expected to lose, but then it was like they were a totally different team in the third. Those new sticks and laces have made quite a difference. I haven't seen a broken Mistletoe stick or a barefoot elf the entire third period.
Rick, it's like a Christmas miracle for the Mistletoes. I don't know what changed, but they came out playing like they had something to prove. They were skating more rapid than eagles. I thought they were going to burn a hole in the ice.
Speaking of being hot, how about Bobby Ornament? He's like the heat miser out there. 2 goals of his own and an assist for Tiny Tim Horton's goal to tie it up to take us into overtime? Wow-wee! He's hotter than chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
Right you are, Rick. During those first two periods, young Bobby O looked more like Bobby Zero. It had been a silent night for the rookie, but in the third period, he's been singing a whole new carol. The Blarney Stones look as slow as molasses out there against him. If it wasn't for some great saves by Jacob McMarley, the Blarney Stones goalie, I'm pretty sure Bobby Ornament would have had his hat trick, and we'd be snug at home in our beds by now. Yes, it's true. McMarley sure is a Scrooge when it comes to giving up the net, and he's got 5 golden rings from past championships to prove it.
Bobby Ornament has truly been a star. A star dancing in the night, you might say. But we'd be remiss if we didn't mention that this has truly been a team effort by the Mistletoes.
Right on, Rick. This team could have given up, waved goodbye, and said, "Don't you cry," but they didn't. This one has certainly shaped up to be a game that will go down in history.
So here we are, set to bring you the action as we head into sudden death overtime. The first team to score in this overtime period wins this year's Winter Holiday Hockey Classic. It's gonna be a doozy. We can hardly stand the wait.
Fasten your sleigh belts and hold on to your Christmas shoes, everyone, because this overtime is going to Jingle Bell Rock.
Bobby skated up to center ice, ready to take the face-off. He looked up at the big Blarney Stone center in front of him, who grinned widely to show off his missing 2 front teeth. "I bet I know all you want for Christmas," Bobby said, not letting himself be intimidated. "Remind me to hook you up with a friend of mine, Herbie, after the game. He's a dentist, and he'll fix you right up." The big leprechaun laughed deeply, even though he wasn't amused, and said, "I'm gonna hit you so hard you'll be seeing silver bells." Bobby nodded and said, "You've got to catch me first," before looking over at the referee, who was a parson named Brown during the year. "I'm ready when you are, ref."
"Don't blink,"
said the leprechaun as the ref dropped the puck. "I won't," said Bobby, as he plucked the puck out of the air before it even hit the ice. Skating away, Bobby shouted back, I guess I had the luck of the draw. Mario Lemieux grabbed the pass and immediately passed it back to Tiny Tim Horton to set up the charge down the ice. Tiny Tim looked up to pass the puck to Gordy Plow just as a leprechaun with a red beard lowered his shoulder, saying, You better watch out. Tiny Tim got the pass off an instant before his feet left the ice. He landed hard on his back. Looking down at him, the leprechaun said meanly, You better not cry. Gordy carried the puck along the board with an advertisement for the NORAD tracking system on it. Just as he crossed into the Blarney Stone zone, two big leprechauns came down on him. He lost the puck as they checked him not once, but twice, and he crumbled like figgy pudding. Bobby was there, though, dashing down the ice faster than a one-horse open sleigh. He snatched the puck up in a stride and streaked toward McMarley. He shot the puck, aiming high, hoping to put it in the top shelf where Mrs. Claus hides the cookies, but he pulled it just a little too much. The puck sailed over McMarley's shoulder and bounced into the rounded corner of the rink. Bobby skated past the grinning McMarley, and for a second, he could have sworn he saw termites in his smile. Refocusing, he saw Mario battling for the puck along the boards. He went in to help, but was cut off by a gigantic leprechaun that obscured his vision. By the time the leprechaun moved, it was too late. They had grabbed the puck, and they were headed back down the ice. Bobby swung around in pursuit, easily passing the lumbering leprechauns, and set up his defensive position alongside his teammates. An instant later, one of the Blarney Stones was rearing his stick back for a slap shot. He heard Tiny Tim yell out,
Red Baron! Red Baron!
And Bobby reacted without thinking. They had practiced the Red Baron maneuver so many times it became instinctual. His elven muscles were moving before his mind even told him what to do. Bobby found himself sliding across the ice, prone, stretching out as long as the Polar Express, just as the leprechaun fired away. The puck bounced off Bobby's right thigh like it was a bumble and skittered across the ice in front of Mario. Faster than Blitzen, Mario shot down the ice on a breakaway. Leprechaun defensemen were in hot pursuit, but Mario had the advantage. Mario pulled his stick back, pretending to go for a slap shot, but then, at the last second, brought his stick down slowly and tried to glide it through McMarley's legs. McMarley snapped his pads together, deflecting the shot off to the side. The crowd groaned as a leprechaun, as big and as green as a Christmas tree, took it back the other way. Gordy tried to make a move and steal the puck, but the leprechaun was ready for it. Gordy bent low, and the leprechaun stopped short, passing it to a teammate. Unable to stop, Gordy plowed right into him with a thumpity-thump-thump-thump. Like hitting a petrified fruitcake, Gordy flew backward, his helmet smacking hard on the ice. He only barely heard the leprechaun say, Sleep in heavenly peace, over the sleigh bells ring-ting-tingling in his ears, and the visions of sugar plums dancing in his head. Bobby saw the vicious hit, but could do nothing to stop it. Instead, he focused on the pass. In another feat of blazing speed, Bobby intercepted the puck and sprang down the ice. Bobby felt reindeer flying in his stomach. This time, he had the breakaway. Just then, time slowed for Bobby. The cheers and chants of the bright spirits of the crowd faded into the background. Everything became calm. Everything became bright. In that moment, Bobby felt his soul become jolly and happy. He was playing his game. He was doing what he loved to do. He was playing hockey, and he loved it. McMarley stormed out of the net to close down angles, a rampaging Grinch on the loose. Bobby saw the goalie come out to meet him, and as luck would have it, he knew exactly what to do. With a pull of his shoulder, Bobby shot the puck as hard as he could, aiming over McMarley's left shoulder. Just like before, the puck sailed too high over the net and struck the glass, but unlike last time, the puck didn't bounce into the corner. Bobby aimed for the seam in the glass and hit it dead on. The puck shot straight out, hitting McMarley right between the numbers on the back of his jersey, and trickled into the net.
The crowd howled with delight as the buzzer sounded. The red light behind the goal lit up like Rudolph's nose. Red Santa hats littered the sky and rained down upon the ice. Bobby threw his stick into the air and spun around to see his teammates do the same. They all met in the center of the ice, hugging and cheering in excitement. Rick Gingerbread screamed from the announcer's booth. Now do you believe? Now do you believe? Bobby Orneman has just scored the game winner, folks. These elves are good. Scary good. For the first time in history, the Mistletoes have won the Cup of Good Cheer. Now do you believe? Bobby let the joy wash over him as he embraced his teammates. He faintly heard Jack yell, "Go get the cup!" from the other side of the mass of hugging elves. Bobby saw a man in a red suit with a white beard holding up a large silver cup that glistened in the snow. Bobby skated over to Santa, who said,
"Merry Christmas, Bobby! I present to you and all of the Mistletoes the Cup of Good Cheer! Congratulations!"
Santa handed the cup to Bobby, who in turn held it over his head.
"That was a pretty lucky shot."
"Maybe, Santa," Bobby said. "Maybe luck was part of it, but that was only one goal. I think we made our own luck because we believed in ourselves." Santa bellowed,
"Oh, oh, oh, well said, my young elf, well said. After all, 'tis the season for believing."
Smiling, Bobby skated his victory lap around the ice, feeling merry and bright. We would like to send out bright birthday wishes to Papa G and Uncle Marky of Massachusetts, Nani of New York, Kevin D of West Virginia, and Sean D of New Hampshire. We hope your days sparkled. If you like what you hear, please feel free to share the website www.nightlightstories.net with others. We would also really appreciate it if you could take a moment to leave a review on iTunes. This makes it easier for others to find us. As always, we look forward to the many stories we can share together.